right, we're going to go ahead and call this regular scheduled Westminster City Council meeting to order. If you would, please join us for the invocation and the Pledge of Allegiance.
Let's pray. Good and gracious God, in whom we live and move and have our being, we give you thanks for this day. We give you thanks for the energy that is in this room. We ask that your presence be made palpable to all of us gathered here in service to our city. Be with those presenting, be with those hearing. May we have open minds and open hearts to your will and your way. In your holy name we pray. Let all God's people say,
Amen.
Let's salute the flag.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Certify a quorum, please.
I certify a quorum.
At this time, we've got an agenda, but in the essence of saving some time, I'm going to make a motion that we move the presentation for the Cherokee Creek Boys School to the top of the agenda. Motion and second. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. All right, at this time, who do we have from Cherokee Creek?
Philip Fairbrother.
Philip Fairbrother. Is there anything you'd like to say about what y'all do? Tell us a little bit about the school.
Yes, sir. We're a therapeutic boarding school. Our population is middle school boys. We take boys that have too much energy or something that they're not able to function well within a school system or at home. And we try to teach those boys skills to where they can go back to their school or their home and live a happier life.
Very good. Well, the City of Westminster wanted to recognize this as Beth and Ron Black, founders of the Cherokee Creek Boys School. And I'll go ahead and just read this for the public. If you want to come up. Can't read through the clear here. Whereas Beth Black had a vision in 1995 for a school to help struggling teenage boys, and the notion would not leave her alone. And whereas on a whim, she found the perfect site for such a school on her very first Google search. And whereas Ron said yes when Beth approached him with the idea. And whereas Beth used a gift she received from her uncle to fund the school at its inception. And whereas Beth developed the healing programs for the CCBS based upon the work of cultural anthropologist Angelus Arian?
Yes.
And whereas Beth used her Disney training to create the mission, vision, values, guiding principles, and culture that became this healing community. And whereas 522 boys from 41 states and 10 countries have attended CCBS. And whereas Ron and Beth funded the school from their own pockets for many years. Whereas Ron and Beth invited nationally acclaimed experts to speak at over 79 family seminars. Whereas Beth led countless mom's retreats to help heal the hearts of mothers. Whereas Beth and Ron have underwritten $1.8 million in scholarships for boys. And whereas Ron and Beth surrounded themselves with exceptional staff and board members from the start. And whereas Ron and Beth have made the world a better place with the creation of the Cherokee Creek Boys School. Now, therefore, be it proclaimed that I, Brian Ramey, Mayor of Westminster, on behalf of the City Council and the citizens of Westminster, officially declare Saturday, May 6, 2023, as Beth and Ron Black Day.
Sir.
Thank y'all for all you do.
Well, good.
A lot of people didn't know, and now you're on the agenda for everybody. We all know you're here.
Thank you so much. Thank you, everybody.
Thank you. Has anyone signed up for public comments?
Yes, sir.
No public comments. At this time, we will begin the special presentation. This is the Downtown Master Plan. We have Catherine Amadon, Lorna Allen, Bolton, and Mink will be presenting this. Council, if you would like, we can go around, sit out there where we can watch the presentation.
Are you
You can spin around in your chair if you want to. I'm just going to
stay back a little bit. Are we ready to go? All right. Well, first and foremost, I just want to thank everybody for being here and being excited about this presentation. We've had a lot of fun working on this project, and it's fun to see not only, I would say it's fun to see all generations in the room, including Taylor, who actually contributed to our public meeting, because you were there. Yep, you had some good ideas, so really excited to present to y'all. So before I get started, I do just want to give a shout out to the rest of my team. I was the project manager, but I am not the person who is behind every little piece of this presentation. So thank my great team. Studio Maine, some of you may know Blake Sanders. He's also the mayor of West Pelzer. He helped us with this project. And Downtown Strategies did the market analysis. So I'm going to be presenting on behalf of the whole project team, but I didn't want to miss making a comment about them. Okay, so let me just say that the full master plan is going to be electronically available. Is it already electronically available?
On the city's website, right when you log in, the bottom right-hand corner.
Perfect. So the whole thing is up. You can take a lot of time diving in. It is 105 pages. I cannot go through the whole thing right now because I want to be respectful of everybody's time, and y'all do need to go home at some point today. So I'm going to hit some highlights, and I'm happy to answer questions at the end, or if you have something pressing during, let us know. Okay. So the project area, just to kind of give everybody lay of the land, is we focused really on downtown. We were not doing a full citywide Westminster plan, but really focusing on Windsor and Main and North Avenue and a few little spurs off of that. So just want to make sure everybody kind of knows our purview. We did a lot of background research. This includes looking at some data that is publicly available, some proprietary data that we have, and then also some of the previous work that y'all have done. So I'm going to highlight some of those key plans and studies. So we took some time to deep dive, really plans from 2015 onward to see some of the work that has been completed. I'll note a few. So you've done several downtown streetscape plans, many of which have had lots of different good ideas that we tried to take into consideration. We've also looked at your economic development incentive program, which is something you guys just passed last year, which is a really great document, and I would say the only thing we heard that was an area of opportunity from some of the stakeholders we spoke to is they didn't know about it. So one of our recommendations later in the master plan is to shout it to the rooftops and make sure that your business owners know that that incentive program exists. We also looked at your comprehensive plan five-year update, your future land use map, and your current zoning code with proposed edits that are currently being worked through. So we definitely don't start at nothing. We want to build on what you've already done and has already been successful. So I'm going to dive into a little bit of the work that Downtown Strategies did at a very high level. So first and foremost, they did some market analysis, and the key here is Westminster is small but mighty, but you have a tiny little town, and it's not just the people that are in the town that are coming in to do business in Westminster. So there's something called a custom trade area, and that is created by looking at cell phone data by picking a central point. So we looked at Ingalls, and within the folks that are coming in doing business at Ingalls, there is a wide breadth of area. So you have a lot of buying power coming into Westminster, at least for the grocery store. So how can we kind of harness getting people to stay and spend more money, spend more time in Westminster? So that population is approximately 55,000 people, which is much larger than your Westminster population. So just something to keep in mind. Throughout the master plan, on the electronic version, you'll see several opportunities where there's a magnifying glass, and that is an area that you can click on and it'll bring you to more information. So this is a very interactive plan meant to dive a little bit deeper in these cases where there's the magnifying glass. So a lot of the data showed and gave
alluded to the fact that there's some leakage in your market. And what leakage is essentially means that people have needs that are not getting met in the immediate trade area, and so they're going outside for those needs. Now, the data shows that these four categories, which I'll give an example of each here in a second, are ideas for you. They're definitely not prescriptive by any means. You could choose to harness some of them or choose not to. So a few things, specialty food services. You have a great ice cream shop that we're aware of. We use some of their ice cream for the public meeting, thanks Zach. But just because there's one doesn't mean that there can't be more places like that, more places to get coffee, more places where there's take and bake meals or that type of thing. Clothing, you have some clothing stores, but there could be more. People are still going outside of your trade area to get that. There could be a specialty wine shop or more places to sit down and have a meal. Again, this is just what the data shows. So from a market analysis standpoint, the key takeaways that Jen Gregory worked on is that you need to promote within the trade area so you can market some of your vacant buildings or some of your key catalyst parcels for some of these uses where you are seeing leakage. The data shows that there are millions of dollars being spent outside of the trade area, and so that's a real notice that there's money to be made here. Experience is everything, so having those Instagrammable moments and the retail experience is something that's going to be important, and helping build on the things that you already have in Westminster that make Westminster vibrant and a great place to be. Do more of that. And then Jen did say focus on the millennial, and it's, you know, they are not to be this dreaded generation, because they're actually now coming into buying power, and so you really do want to gear yourselves towards those that can spend more money. And then the last thing I'll just touch on the market analysis piece is we heard loud and clear from a lot of people that parking was a concern. Parking, you couldn't find good parking, there's not enough of parking, and so in the master plan, which we have kind of a whole plan, which I can share a few with some folks that are here, and it is on page 46 for council that's following along. We have exceeded the national standards for the amount of parking that you need in this design. So you already have a lot of parking, and this kind of gives you that little gap that you'd be missing. Okay, so let's dive into how we created this plan. So it's really critical to engage folks that know things about Westminster. And so we customized an engagement strategy working with Kevin to figure that out. And the first thing that we did is created a planning advisory committee. I'll talk more about them in a second. We had three meetings with that group. We did two walking tours and driving tours where we spent some time really getting boots on the ground, experiencing what it is to walk on your sidewalks, to try to connect to different places. I walked from the depot to Park Place Drive and experienced the Gray Street under tunnel, which I'll talk about in a little bit. We had one public planning workshop where we got a lot of great feedback from the public, and then we are here, council presentation. So a few things just that I wanted to highlight from the PAC, as we affectionately called this group, is they were made up of the mayor, city staff, residents that are both long and short-term residents, business owners. So we had a nice, diverse view set, and really we presented pieces along the way to get their feedback so that we knew we were heading in the right direction, because in the end, this isn't our plan. It 100% has to be your plan. So a few fun things that came from that, or some of the earlier conversations, is there's a lot of love for Main Street and the Depot being this crown jewel of downtown, and the ability to run into a neighbor, and some of the holiday celebrations and great events that you host downtown were things that we heard time and time again, and really just wanting more places to celebrate and have public facing spaces was something that came out of some of those conversations. Another one of the activities I just wanted to highlight is a visual preference survey, and we did this with the PAC and also at the public meeting for those of you that were able to make it. And really, I'm just going to summarize kind of what this points out, but from a multimodal element standpoint, which is how people want to move around downtown, it was really loud and clear that we wanted more pedestrian focused connectivity. So the green is pedestrian amenities and the gray is pedestrian crossings. And so being able to walk downtown, feeling safe, getting to and from where you want to go is really critical. And that also lends itself to a park once philosophy where you park your car and you're able to hit maybe three different places downtown without feeling like you need to get back in your car. And then for the streetscape elements and the public space and placemaking, it was really just clear that you guys wanted more holistic things that make a place more vibrant. So this hits on everything from landscaping to better sidewalks and more signage and just placemaking, which is essentially feeling like you're where, like you know where you are based on the signage and the branding that's out. Okay, so here's where I'm going to slow down just a little bit and talk about the guiding principles. And I promise you, you will be able to read this on the version that's online. So one thing that we really like to do is before we embark on the implementation ideas is come up with guiding principles. And there's not a prescribed number that these should be. It's just really what calls itself out throughout the public engagement process and the stakeholder process. And we kind of landed on four. We ran these by the PAC, and the PAC was like, yep, run with them. So the first is connect to Main Street. So that's going to be this symbol, and I'll explain how you're going to see these symbols later in a moment. So loud and clear, how do we get to and from where we want to go? How do we get North Avenue and Main Street and Windsor better connected? And what does that look like? So any recommendation that comes with that symbol is relating to connecting to Main Street. Open for business. We know that there's several successful businesses right in downtown, but how can we make it more welcoming to include more diverse businesses downtown in the district to make you more of a destination for shopping, retail, dining, what have you? So that's the symbol. Leading with vibrancy up here, so these two people dancing, is really just this question of, does this idea make downtown a more vibrant place? And if the answer is yes, then it's a recommendation we want to run with. And then last but not least, Westminster to the core. We really enjoyed seeing several different ways that Westminster is really unique. You have more murals than towns that are five times your size. You have apples kind of randomly placed, including on your water tower. And there's, of course, the Apple Festival, which only happens once a year, but maybe how can we broaden that? And you also have Bigfoot Festival, where people travel from near and far to attend. So you've got a lot of going on. So anything that is really, truly Westminster to the core is this Apple core. Okay, so we've developed this master plan. This is kind of our framework of big ideas, and that's presented in the plan, and then we go into some detail. So I'm going to go right into connecting people to Main Street. So I'm going to highlight a few of the big ideas that we had here. First is we know people love traveling Windsor Street. They kind of come into Westminster and go out of Westminster, where a lot of the activity is happening on Main Street, especially because most of the businesses are fronting Main Street and they're less activated on the backside. So we thought these gateways were really critical. So one idea is to have this be a roundabout, which this is definitely big enough to accommodate larger vehicles because we know you have truck traffic that does go through here, but it allows you to kind of really make it obvious of, hey, I'm driving through Westminster and this is your gateway to the mountains. The other bookend is making this be a right angle onto Windsor Street so that you can have this be a lighted intersection, which also, because this is SCDOT, would enable you to put crosswalks, which helps build that connectivity. So those are two ideas of connecting people to Main Street. Here's another opportunity where you can dig a little deeper and you can click, and this will tell you a little bit about wayfinding and how important it is to get people from one place to another. Okay, so let's dive into one of these specific examples. So Festival Streets, you have five really awesome, and there's an alley too, half block roads that kind of are your workhorses between Main Street and Windsor. And right now, they already function from a parking perspective, from getting connectivity in, but they can do more for you. So here's one big idea related to festival streets. So here is a rendering of Retreat Street. You can see Retreat Street Park. You can see this mural over here. And what we've done is made this a complete street, which is a curbless street. And the way you differentiate between the travel lane and the parking area are just two different colors of pavement. And then you put some bollards in to kind of add a little safety component for the pedestrians walking by. And what this does is it enables you to close this street off for an event. So this is your random Monday at noon. This is Friday night. So you've got you can block off both streets. You can get your food trucks in. You've got a band playing at the pavilion that we're recommending that you put in at Retreat Street. And you can activate this space without eliminating car use during the week when it's nice to just be able to drive down and park, but you have the opportunity to make an extension of Retreat Street Park and really just make it a nice active space. So this is a recommendation that we've put on all of your cross streets, but Retreat Street is the one we've rendered and focused on since you already have a really nice adjacent park. Another big idea, Railroad Park. So I referenced walking under the Gray Street underpass earlier. It currently is not functioning well from a vehicular perspective or a pedestrian perspective. It's not overly safe, and it's kind of a huge underutilized area of your downtown, just the way the topography works and how the roadway connects. So one big idea is to reclaim that space, utilize it more as a public-facing space, close the road off to vehicular traffic, and make it pedestrian only. This gives you the nice access to North Avenue, building connectivity to WP Anderson Park, which is up here off the map, and also just kind of being an extension of some of your existing public spaces that are already serving you really well. So Retreat Street, the Depot, and you can basically utilize this space for any festival, but also day-to-day, it can act as a nice place to watch trains, which you guys have them go through downtown, and people love coming to watch trains, especially kids, so kind of creating that space. And so this idea has been done before, and we spoke with the city of Ruston, Louisiana, which they have a very similar downtown feel to y'all. They had topographic challenges. They have Norfolk Southern running through their downtown. And they were able to reclaim an underpass space. Actually, I think theirs was at grade, and make it into a public amenity. And so we interviewed them, kind of got some ideas and thoughts to hear a little bit more about. And then with any of those offshoot conversations we had, we kind of recorded them in a separate document and gave those to Kevin. So he has her contact information. She was the Main Street director, and she was more than happy to help Westminster with any questions you guys had about this process. And so that's pretty invaluable. Okay, so those are just a couple of the big ideas. There are more, but for the sake of time, I will wrap up with talking about what's next. So I will say, just because there's so many people in the room, it is really important to us as consultants in general that we don't create a plan that is just gonna grow dust on a shelf. I'm sure you've heard consultants say that, but we really hate that. And so the reason why we had such a robust engagement process is because everybody owns this plan at the end of the day. So everybody has the opportunity to contribute to it. Kevin cannot be the only person implementing. Council can't be the only person implementing. Everybody in this room has the opportunity to contribute to this plan, help make it successful, find the thing that jazzes you up and gets you excited. Okay, Kevin didn't pay me to say that, but it's really important. So one thing I just want to go through is the reason why we have all these great big ideas, we prepare the renderings to kind of get you excited, but then we have an implementation matrix at the end of this master plan that really is your roadmap for how you move forward. And I'll just get right to it and show you an example. So we have several pages that look like this, and I'm going to go left to right. So first we come up with a category. So for this page, it's catalyst projects. So those are projects that are going to springboard other projects or the success of something else within this plan. And we have a subcategory, which is Railroad Park, which is that Gray Street under tunnel that I was just speaking about. We number these so that you can reference them or speak to them, just because if they weren't numbered, it'd be really complicated. The recommendation itself is articulated. Key partners that you would need to work with for this to be successful are identified. So in some of those cases, it's a consultant. In others, it's an agency like SCDOT or Norfolk Southern Railway. And then we have Project Horizon. So the way this works is we have 0 to 5, 5 to 10, 10 plus. And where the dot is where we think, based on conversations we had with the public, with stakeholders, with Kevin, with the PAC, that you could finish this recommendation. Does not mean that you begin the recommendation in year 10. It means that you might have to do some pre-work, but it's going to take some time. That Ruston example that I just showed you is part of a 20-year plan that the city of Ruston had. Some of these things will take a long time to get to, but you can start phasing them out and figuring out how you want to attack them. Then we have our guiding principles, which those are those four symbols that I went through earlier. We tie them back, because if we can't tie them back to a guiding principle, we have to gut check why is it a recommendation in the first place. And then we have a notes section. So this is meant to be printed out. You can jot thoughts on it. You can be like, Kevin's doing this. Or you can say, we decided we don't want to do this. Or in progress, year three. Like, whatever it is meant to be printed, written on, highlighted, whatever you want to do. And then there's a few other fun little things we've done. So anywhere there's a star, we have gone ahead and said, hey, this is a priority project. You should try to get this done because it either is going to be really critical to the success of the rest or it's tied to the success of another recommendation. We also have these little boxes in the corner of a recommendation where there may be a zoning change or some verbiage that you may need to consider within your zoning guidance to make sure that that recommendation is successful. And then last but not least, in a few cases, we've linked a case study to say, hey, you know, this is an idea, and not only is it a big idea, it's actually been implemented somewhere else, and you can lean on the success of somebody else and the fact that it's not impossible, it can be done. So I'll read you that top one, which just says, Gray Street Tunnel, reimagine the existing drive lanes and underpass as pedestrian-only spaces. Maintain connections from North Avenue to Main Street. Create the North Avenue Plaza and Railroad Park Plaza. Incorporate lighting, public art, and beautification. And you would need to work with SCDOT because North Avenue is their jurisdiction. Norfolk Southern Railway, of course, because that whole space is within the rail right-of-way, and potentially a consultant to help you render a final design. So that is kind of, that is a lot that's going on there, but you can start to dig in and really get a feel for some of the recommendations and how they all weave together to create this master plan. So that is it. I think I managed to do that in 20 minutes. I'm here to answer questions, happy to talk through anything specific if you have something you want to discuss, but I will just leave you with the thought that this is just the beginning. We had so much fun, but now we're giving it to you. Find the people that are really passionate about certain aspects of this plan and let them run with it, because that's what's going to make you all successful. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
So, Mayor, Council, first I'd ask you if you have any questions with Catherine. Catherine lives in Greenville, so my plan was to release her out once you've had a chance to have any questions. You have an action item later in the agenda whether or not to adopt or accept the plan. But while Catherine is here, I want to make sure that if you have any questions that you have a chance to ask Catherine.
I don't have a question. I just want to thank you and the entire team. For those of you that were able to be a part of this process, they are really, really excited about Westminster. And to have folks that don't live here be as excited about this city as we were, which is really cool to be a part of. So thank you and everybody else. And there's like a mayor of Westminster. Bouncer was on the team too. So, I mean, you know, it was just a really great team, and we had a lot of folks that had a lot of good input. So thank you so much for everything y'all did for us.
Thank you. Yeah.
Thank you so much.
You guys are making it that easy.
Well, we've got a lot to go through now and look at, but we do appreciate all the hard work. And just like Miss Audrey said, it was refreshing to see everything y'all brought to the table. It really was.
Well, I'm going to set a couple of copies. I didn't intend to do 11 by 17, but I did.
I thought you did.
No. So the council each has a copy of this. If any of you would like a copy, I'm going to set them back here. So if you want to pick one up on your way out, it is already on the city website. So right when you go to
you
can see the electronic version if you don't feel like flipping through all those pages.
Do you need this on for the rest of the meeting?
No, okay. Ma'am.
Do you want me to
that
just
thing's
turn it
blinding
off?
Me.
I'm going to turn this off.
Yeah.
There we go. Just so the light is.
Yeah, yeah.
Thank
Perfect.
You.
Yeah. Thank you.
Drive carefully.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
And I believe, for those that maybe don't want the pool, I do have just the master plan printed out, so if somebody wants to take that on your way out, please do.
Ready to move on?
Yes, sir.
All right, next we have the special presentation by Westminster Hope Community. Who do we have representing there?
We do not have a 20-minute presentation. Y'all have been very gracious with your time in the past, and we thank you. And I believe you have each gotten a copy of our proposal, and we in faculty meetings, I hated it when somebody gave you a handout and then read it to you. So I figure you people have read it, you know what we're talking about, and we want to thank you for considering our proposal to purchase the Riley Street property. And we are available for questions if you have any questions.
Any questions from the council? Do you have any questions about the offer?
My question to the council is, you have the letter from the Westminster Hope community. They've made an offer. I will await your direction either tonight or at a subsequent council meeting if you would like to entertain that. So if you want to entertain selling the property, and the only condition that the Hope community stipulated was that it have the correct zoning for them to be able to put the three units that they would like to put on it. Right now, it's one of our residential units that it would need to go to a different residential unit that would allow that density. And that was my suggestion to them when they made the request, that I know what they want to do with it. The current zoning wouldn't allow it. That would have to go through the Planning Commission and come to you. They've also offered to pay $10,000 for the property. The way that you transact property is by ordinance. So if you want to do that, then I would be happy to take your direction and ask Andrew to prepare that ordinance and to work with the group to make sure all the terms are there. But I want you to know, as a council, I now await your direction on what I should do. I believe the group has given, or that certainly they've given me everything I need. The question is whether or not you have what you need if you choose to make any decision.
The question I have would be for Andrew. Do we have the authority to legally just take this offer? Do we need to put this out for the open bid, or can we just accept the offer as it's been given?
I don't know that we have to advertise it. I mean, we didn't seek to sell it. You know, it's something that came to us. It's not on the market.
Right. So we're clear. All right. Anything from other council members?
Just for curiosity's sake, have you got any feedback from the pamphlets that were handed out to the neighbors?
Not that I know of. We have a phone, and we have activated that phone, but there were a lot of people who we just left the pamphlets. But it seemed like most of the people we talked to already knew and that this was going to happen, whether And we pointed out that this has not been proved. So apparently the word is on the street, as they say.
It's hard to get anybody to call back to respond, so I was just curious.
Since I get to answer the phone, I'm fine with that.
Sometimes no news is good news. So.
Yeah, if they didn't like it, you would have gotten a phone call.
Exactly.
Anything else from the council? Thank you very much. If you need a motion for that later, do you want to?
Well, if you're comfortable giving me direction, I don't think you don't have anything on your agenda items that would allow you to take action, but you can certainly, as a group, give me the direction to prepare what you need or not. Would you like me to prepare what you need?
Do we need more of a motion?
No, we can't. It's not a motion. Basically,
just general consensus. If I see you all, enough of you nod your head, we can prepare it. Then it comes back to you for action, and you can choose to act on it or not. And I do think it's important to note that Ms. Reese is not participating in the discussion and has signed a formal recusal because that is her church that
right.
Members from that church, her church, your church, Westminster's church, I'm trying to
members from Westminster Presbyterian.
I'm trying to catch that correctly or participate.
All right. Everybody okay with that?
So
proceed.
What we'll do is we'll bring you an ordinance back and Ms. Sheets, I will prepare something with the planning commission so that I make sure we coordinate all that. My suggestion would be that we let council decide if they want to do this with the first reading, and then we would go to planning commission and then come back for a second. And then
that would be great.
I will. That
would be very
really appreciated.
Does that work for the council as well?
Yes, sir. Very good. Thank you. And thank you for your patience. I know this is taking you a while to get to this, but
we appreciate the thoughtfulness with which you have approached it and the information you've given us that we needed to factor in.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you. All right, next we'll move on to presentation of the hospitality tax grant requests.
Mr. Mayor, we have quite a few folks who requested hospitality tax. This is their chance to make their pitch to you. You all know who you are. So do we have a list?
In our email, we do.
Yeah, so what?
Who's here for the hospitality? Well, let's start on the left and move to the right.
Yeah,
that
so work? Each of you get 3 minutes. I'll set a timer so when you hear the funny alarm go off, it's not somebody's phone ringing, it's your time.
All right, Anna's going to make me go first. So I am here on behalf of the South Carolina Bigfoot Festival. I know many of you are familiar with our festival. It happens every year in October. We are a nonprofit entity, but I would like to clarify, because there's been some confusion, we are not a 501c3, we are a 501c7. So just in case anyone was unclear on that, which means that we were solely put in place as an event activity type group. All we do is a street festival. It is in October. It is not for profit for me or any of the other members of the committee. What it does is bring people into town that wouldn't necessarily come here for the Apple Festival or the Heritage Fair or the lakes or the boating or anything else that really we have to offer. It's kind of a quirky niche group of people. So they do come from very far away. We do have a pretty good turnout. This will be our fourth year because of COVID, but we have consistently seeing pretty good numbers and pretty good returns for our vendors and our speakers. They have all really enjoyed the festival. That being said, it's an expensive festival to put on. We use really high quality bands, sound. We have, you know, quite a few really good speakers come in. We try our best to keep it very low cost. So what many of you may not know is that we rely solely on vendor fees, HTACs, corporate sponsorship,
and private sponsorship to put the festival on. We do not charge for parking. We do not charge for admission. We do not charge for admission into the speakers. We do not charge for any of the children's activities, any of that stuff. So we try very, very hard to make this an event that families can come, even if they have 4, 5, 6, 7 children, that literally, if they wanted to, they could pack snacks, walk down, listen to music, you know, see the contest, and not have paid a dime. So it is one of those things that's unique to this community in that aspect, that it is a basically completely free event that brings money to our businesses and money into these vendors. Thank you for your consideration of H-Texan.
Thank
you. If y'all have any questions, let me know.
Any questions? Next.
Yeah.
Who's next?
My name is Anna Rose. I'm here as the current president of the AFT Festival Committee. We are starting to plan the 62nd AFT Festival, which would not be possible without our city council members and fire and police and utility workers that help. They do more than we could ever thank you for. But we do ask for money from HTAX to help, just to help. It helps with sound, entertainment, children's activities that, again, parents don't have to pay for, advertisement, the pageant that we put on. We are a 501c3, so all the money that we raise from the pageant activity goes back to the community. This past year, we donated over $4,000 to Grace's Closet, so it went back to the school system. So we, anything helps graciously.
Thank you. Anything from the council? Next.
My name is Randall Roberts. I'm the president of the Westminster Music Association. We've been hosting music on main events here for probably, I'd say, 8 years, maybe a little longer. I've been president for 3 years. And through COVID, we pretty much had to shut down. We started up events again last year. We're working toward getting crowds in here around 1,000 for events this year. And we just had one this past weekend, which decent attendance. So it was pretty good event. And we're pretty happy about that.
Mm-hmm.
We do advertise and draw crowds in regionally. So we advertise in the Journal, Facebook, Instagram. We also try to get the bands coming in from out of town to get their following to point as well. I know, just at the event last week, we had people from Georgia, mainly Toccoa, Clayton areas, also North Carolina, and then in the Greenville area, and upstate area.
Mm-hmm.
So we're currently funded. We are a 501c3, and we're currently funded mainly through grants, sponsorships, and donations. So that's our funding method. The plan currently is 4 events per year, so 2 in the spring, 2 in the fall. And anything else? I think that's about it. We're looking for the HTAX grant to help out continuing putting on shows.
Thank you. Any questions from the council? It was a good show this weekend, by the way.
It was a great show. Great job, don't count.
Next.
Hi, I'm Melinda Harbin. I'm the manager of the South Carolina Foothills Heritage Fair. We're the one that's in between the Apple Festival and the Bigfoot Festival. So I think most of you probably are familiar with the fair. We're not in the city of Westminster proper, but we're right up the road on 123 in between Seneca and Westminster. That's how we advertise it, in between Seneca and Westminster. So we're drawing from the whole county, hopefully. We are, I think most of these other, we're an all-volunteer organization. We don't pay any, we pay for some of the service, workers that come to the fair for security and
trash pickup, but all of our board members, all of our committee members are all volunteers. As you've seen, the facility is growing, is expanding into more than just the fairgrounds. You know, it's the farm center. We do a lot of activities there, but it is the fair that we're asking for the funds for. Typically, we use the hospitality tax funds to help with our promotion and our advertising. One thing this year is we need all new signs. Our road signs, our advertising signs are crumbling apart. So that's a big need we need this year, and to make those look more professional and better, to have a little higher quality. We draw a lot of students to help with the fair. Westminster Middle and High School FFA, Seneca FFA, well, all the FFA students help. 4-H students have a huge student community that volunteers in the fair office. So we appreciate your past support, and we hope we can see more support again.
Thank you. Any questions from the council? Next. Is that it? I had someone from the rodeo contact me today. They could not make it tonight, but they just wanted to let everybody know that the rodeos have been very successful. They continue to raise funds, and they wanted us to let you know that May 20th is the Skyla Strong Barrel Race in Roping. It's been moved due to rain, and May 5th they're having a special needs fun show for the special needs kids at West Oak. So we've shared that, and they apologize for not being able to come. They had prior engagement, couldn't make it. So anything else on that? Any questions from council? All right, we'll move on. Comments from the mayor and council?
Yeah, one thing, great job last week with the music on Main stuff. That's fantastic. When we first moved here a few years ago, you see 25, 30 people at these things, and now it's just blooming. It's really good. I'm seeing crowds that rival what they've got in Seneca with Jazz on Main, and that's just awesome. This coming Friday, 6 o'clock is the Westminster Bluegrass Jams free event. For all the musicians in the area, if you've been to it before, you know how they do. They spread out up and down the block, in and out of buildings and stuff like that, and it goes to about midnight. It's a free event. As far as coming out, bring your chairs out. If you're a picker, you know somebody that likes bluegrass or whatever, come on out, enjoy yourselves, dance in the street, or, well, not on the street, it'll be open. Sidewalks if you want to. We'll have some barbecue there. And I believe the museum is going to sell some hot dogs and hamburgers to try to raise some money to update their deck on the back side of the building on the 123 side. So I think that'll be good for them. Bluegrass Jams have been put on by Uplift Westminster and Main Street Westminster. Just Facebook groups, positive groups around town. So it's a good thing. I think we've got a good thing going on in town right now. And to do so. But thank y'all again. That was fantastic. I loved it this past weekend.
Anybody else on council?
Yes. The mayor and the city council would like to invite everyone to the National Day of Prayer. We're going to have in town at Retreat Street Park. That's May 4th at noon. And so we'll be getting out more information about that. We'd love for you to come and be a part of that. We're real excited about that. There are events all over the county, and Westminster is one of the cities hosting. So please come and join us. Say what? And then I would like to take the opportunity to thank our police department, and they were part working with the sheriff's department for our community meal. I don't know if anyone was a part of that, and I thank the city for their part of that also. Thank the Lazy Daisy Garden Club for the snacks, and it was a great event. Over 300 people, I think, were fed, right, Chief? And it was just a great time to be with the community. I think we live in such a loving community, and I thank you for that we're able to do that.
Anyone else?
I have some questions about follow-ups from last meeting and now for now, or should I wait for the next?
No, not.
Did we learn any more about the U-Card thing, and have we gotten that resolved in any way?
No, but we continue to get checks from them. So they will pay by check.
Okay, well, that's good. Yeah. Cool. And where are we on bids for the new website?
We awarded the bid to Ingenious, spelled with an E. Rebecca, Callie Carter, who's on staff, and I are your website team. We've met with them twice. So we're in the first couple of weeks of a 12-week process to redo the website.
Okay. And my next question is, where are we on the park project that we just recently got the grant award for the big Anderson Park?
For Anderson Park, we are in bureaucratic hoop jumping. So we partnered with the Appalachian Council of Governments to help us administer that. And I'm trying to think what the last thing that I sent to them last week. To use those community development block grants, we have to have a number of policies, procedures, and everything in place before we can proceed. And while I can't recall off the top of my head where I am with that, that's part of what we're I still think that we will be in construction before summer is out.
Okay, cool. We're excited about that. That's on our side. That's on Park Place's side of town.
Yes.
I want to keep the people that provide my coffee happy, so I have to ask these questions.
Oh, and I did want to say also, we want to thank Kevin for working it out for the JROTC for coming. If you saw our town and all the great work from our great students at West Oak, thank you so much for that. Would have taken us weeks to do. That took a day. So they were delighted to have them.
Kevin, can you touch on the Simpson Road field, the new one? Can you pass on that?
Yeah, so. We talked earlier about the money that we have committed to the Simpson Street ball fields, as we're calling them. If you've been out there recently, you see that one of the perimeter fences has been installed. It doesn't encircle the whole property because we have the Duke right-of-way transmission lines. It's just easier not to get in there right-of-way than to jump through those hoops with them. But it will be secured for the whole field complex. I'm trying to figure out the best way to describe it. The backstops are currently going up right now. There'll be one full-size baseball field that if you go out there right now, you can see where the backstops are going up. And then on the far side of the field, there'll be a smaller baseball field for the, I don't know the exact age break off, but for the smaller ones, T-ball, to be able to practice out there. And then the rest of the field will be multi-purpose fields, so for soccer, football, just general practice, practice space. We had talked, or you had given me direction to contact the Meffler family about naming those fields after Yusuf, and the family has communicated back to me that they would like to name it Yusuf Meffler Memorial Fields, and so. I found out today that Yusuf's birthday is May the 17th, and so I'm going to pull every effort I can to have a sign ready by that date. Not a lot of notice, but if you will, hold a place on your calendar for May 17th, the afternoon. I expect we'll try and have some type of dedication ceremony involving his family and a game of baseball out on the field. We may not have the dugouts ready, but we should have everything else we need out there to be able to do this. And just so you know, his family was deeply honored that you thought of him that way and that this this is being worked on. It was moving to me to even speak with him. So I think there's a lot of gratitude toward you, and certainly we all still appreciate Yusuf's contribution to the town. So May 17th, his birthday. I imagine it will be a great thing for us to be able to have something out there that day. And we will. Just don't know if we'll have the full sign up or not. But if you will hold that on your calendar.
Good.
I appreciate it. And just mention Yusuf's nephew, Hakeem, is here today. It's the only time I remember we got here tonight. So thank you.
Thank you all. Appreciate it. I really do. So it's great to hear about that, about my uncle and everything. So thank you guys so much.
Anyone else from council? Kevin, can we get an update on the West Oak sign location? Did we get anywhere with that?
Yeah, so we've ordered two, or I should say the city has ordered one, and the Booster Club from West Oak has ordered one. I spoke with Miss Allen. She's involved with the Booster Club some form or fashion. And President, thank you. And they intend to put one sign up on the, it's the graveyard coming in on 124 where our entrance sign is, and then the one that we would buy will go on the entrance sign coming in 123 from Seneca. So I meant to call them today to see what the status of the delivery of those two signs were. You've seen the signs. It was the signs that she presented. We ordered them together. We'll install them together. I hope we get it done before school's out so we can bring those athletes back one more time. And we get that done, I'll be sending you yet another invitation for celebration and unveiling of the signs for those athletes.
Very good. And the LDC grants. Last month we talked about, the committee was talking about changing those or advertising for more or what?
Yeah, so Catherine also mentioned this in her presentation, that a lot of folks have said they did not know about the Local Development Corporation's building improvement grant program that we have, where you can get up to $5,000 in matching funds if you spend at least $10,000. Working with the Chamber of Commerce, we have created a postcard that will be mailed to the entire Chamber of Commerce mailing list. We'll post that same card on our website. The members of the Development Corporation Committee asked that we do everything we could to get the word out. I think that will get the word out to a lot of people on the Chamber side. After we do that, then we'll mail something to all the commercial building owners in the area that we serve with those grants. So I don't know the exact time frame. I'm still waiting on the Chamber to finish getting those. I'm waiting on somebody to deliver me the printed cards. Once I have those, then I'll give those to the Chamber, and we'll get the labels put on it and get it in the mail. So a lot going on there.
Very good. Anyone else have anything else? All right, we'll move on to routine business. Approval of the March 7, 2023 regular scheduled council meeting.
Motion to approve.
Second.
Any discussion? Call for a vote, please.
Aldrin?
Yes.
David?
Yes.
Ruth?
Yes.
Brian?
Yes.
Jimmy?
Yes.
Dale?
Yes.
Adam?
Yes, ma'am.
Next, approval of the March 7, 2023 budget workshop minutes.
Motion to approve.
Second.
Any further discussion? Call for a vote, please.
Davey?
Yes.
Ruth?
Yes.
Brian?
Yes, ma'am.
Jimmy?
Yes.
Dale?
Yes.
Adam?
Yes, ma'am.
Aldrin?
Yep.
Next, we have comments from the utility director, Mr. Kevin Harbin. You have the floor.
Mr. Mayor, members of council. actually, we went over most of this today, but I'll do it again. We have a new garbage truck. I'd like to start with something exciting. It was delivered yesterday, decaled yesterday, hit the road,
hit the
residential
right
route
this morning.
Today. So, Andy, our driver's been threatened to take care of it like it was his mother's car. So, we're really excited about it. It's a lot less bulky and a lot easier to get around than what we've had before, and he's real excited about it. Maybe a little slower if you're used to him getting your garbage at 9:30 in the morning. It may be 10:30, until he gets a handle on it. But when it's all
he's still
down,
coming down Isadega at 9 a.m.
Next thing, we got fire bays on the back of City Hall. The demolition, everybody I'm sure has seen now. It's down. Grass is growing. We've got gutter drains put in, so we have less erosion. We actually have gutters on on one side of your building now. Couple of exciting things on the back you can't see yet, but there were two arched windows that were original to that building in 24, I believe, somewhere we figured out the building was built around in there. Huge, tall, about 8 to 9 foot tall windows with an arch on top. We will be actually unblocking those. We have glass order to go back in those. That will make the back side of the building really pop out. And there are some conversations going on about what to do with the back of the building. It does look kind of bad right now, the actual facade. But we're open for comments, and you know, we'll try to come up with what's really going to look best on that. The next thing we got our C-Fund project that the other Kevin has discussed in previous meetings. That's going along. It hasn't started, but it is a repaving project for a lot of the roads, and it's not the main roads through town. We're getting back off the beaten path in the city. I'll just read through them real quick. Main Street at the underpass on the other end of town. Gray Street, not the Y, but from the Y through the underpass over to North Avenue. The entirety of Willow Road. Quick Street underpass.
Yay!
Now, caveat on all of this, they cannot improve or make larger any of these roads.
If I don't bust a hubcap coming through, I'll be happy.
They will remove the asphalt that's there, do any kind of work that needs to be done underneath, but then it will go back the same width that it was. That's kind of a C-Fund caveat that they can't improve past what was already there. We can replace. Ann Davis. You don't even know where it is. A lot of people don't. It's off of Butler.
No.
Around. It's a little one-way street.
Yes.
It is
horrible.
It is. So, Highland Avenue from Spring Street to Riley. So that's the little one-lane section of that, and then on down to Riley Street. Oak and West Cobb from North Avenue down to 24, and then the little West Cobb is the little triangle.
I love that.
North Pew and Maple.
Oh, yeah.
South Pew and Bermuda. All the way. And those are probably those four right there are probably some of the worst in town. And then there's a small section on East Main Street, kind of between Bibb and Robin, coming into town. There was a big water leak there. We had to repair it. They're going to put it back to state standards. It's a small little section that it got put in there so we can get it back to state DOT standards. That is the scope that we're going for in this particular one. And it is, you know, we tried to pick the absolute worst roads in town and get out into the community where a lot of times we don't get to.
Kevin, on Ann Davis, is it going to go all the way to Dr. John's? Are they going to do something about that drain on the upper side where it's so deep?
CG about that. They are aware of that drain. Actually, they were just made aware of it.
Mm-hmm. They were made aware of it a year and a half ago.
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
They came out and looked at it and said, yeah, it's worse than we thought.
Okay.
So, yeah, hopefully, because I took sending the picture, I said, half the pipe's gone.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I got down in there and looked through it, half the pipe's actually no longer there, so.
Do you have a start date for the?
No, we don't. There's a couple of things, and I think the other Kevin maybe kind of touch on those a little later on, but there's a couple of, like Oak Street, we have a sewer issue right through the middle of it that we have to take care of before.
We don't want to wait for that.
No, we don't want to do the government way. There, and speaking of the sewers, we are still working sewer issues. You may not see us digging and fixing sewers, but we're having a camera and check and assess and see where the problems are and then how we can go about. We have to get those engineered, find out a price, and see how we can go about taking care of them. Of course, in emergency situations, we can get right out and try to take care of what's there. Last thing I've got is the power outage that we had on the 8th. Two Saturdays ago. For a small percentage of people, it lasted about 9 hours.
About how long?
Nine hours for a small percentage of the town. 2 years ago, the majority of the town would have been out at least that long. I want to give all thanks to my predecessor, Lee Baker, and our electrical crew for the 12 kV changeover and all the ways that they installed in there to be able to turn power around in that situation. There was a tree off of the vacant lot, which is owned by Ingalls, going out, not even on our right-of-way. It was outside of our right-of-way and fell, took out one pole, the top of another pole, all three phases. Went into the road, ended up blocking the road for an hour, a little hour, hour and a half. Thanks, police. Sheriff's deputies came up, police, fire, get the road blocked. Once again, our crews worked together. When I found out about it, I said, call Terry and get as many people as you need off water. Water crew jumped right in there. We had as many water crew members out there as we had our electric. And they worked on getting tree out of the road, getting traffic open, while the electric crew went out and started turning power around. Within a little over an hour, 95% of the town was back in. And then they started working on, and it was all out, doing everything they could to get that back up. So, like I said, it was about 8 o'clock. We finally roll out, and that was a cold, wet, rainy day for anybody that wasn't here doesn't remember. So those guys really deserve kudos for what they got done that day with the water and the electric crews. So that's all I got. Any questions?
Kudos to Lee Baker,
Yes.
That was your people. That was not in your direction. So don't shortchange yourself. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Kip. Next, comments from the other Kevin.
All right, well, I'm going to roll through these. If something catches your attention, let me know, and I'll slow down. Based off the recommendations that you have from your downtown master plan and other input that we heard during that whole process, I have had the Pope Flynn Law Firm prepare what is called a vacant building ordinance. Most of you on council have heard about that through some of your municipal association meetings, but in essence, it's an ordinance that if any property owner, and I think I had this one crafted so that it sticks within the commercial property zones, any commercial property where the building is vacant, you'd be required to register it with the city, and then based off the time that it remains vacant, they would pay fees for that. It's similar to the one that the city of Wahala adopted within the last month or so. I have the draft ordinance. I'm going to send that out in my administrative report and let you look at it. If I haven't yet got to the point of saying it'll be on your next agenda unless you guys tell me you want it on your agenda. Certainly, we have started tightening the belt in terms of code enforcement with what we already have on the books. Chief Patterson and Bob Jones have done a great job. I think even one of you, I won't call you out, said some of the buildings that we put boards on look better now because we put boards on them. And that, that, with these things forthrightly in a way we haven't before. And you're going to see more of that. You'll know when we hit some soft spots because people will start calling you, asking that you tell us to back off. We're moving steady, but in a straight line. So I will await some feedback from you once you get a chance to look at this, because it really is, what is your appetite? We had talked about this one time before, and I asked you all to not do it because I was worried about staffing it. The way we have it written, I believe that we can manage the staff. So that's not a concern on my part anymore. I made a joke a little bit earlier about jumping through bureaucratic hoops or whatever you do with the hoops. We were awarded $8.7 million from the USDA Rural Development for water system improvements. And you all know we've been grinding through that. Well, a couple of weeks ago, we finally got the approval that we can go to bid. So those projects are now out to bid. And I can't remember the exact date the bids are due, but we have sent all of you a special called meeting notice that on May the 18th at noon, we'll have a special called city council meeting with just the one item on it, and that is to consider bid award for those water projects. The way that Troy Rozier did that, we did what's called a Division 1 and Division 2, or Division A and Division B. We took all the projects, and he lumped the ones based off of pipe size. So if it's 10 or 12 inch, that's in one division. 6 and 8 inch lines are in another division. And we're looking to see if multiple contractors will bid where we can have two contractors working at the same time. That'll expedite the project to get it done quicker. So that'll be coming to you. It took a long time to get there. That day we got that notice, I can brag on Troy Rozier and his group. We got the notice to proceed from USDA, and within the hour, Troy had the documents on the website's bid out. We were that geared up, that ready to go. You're going to see things on your agenda dealing with the interim financing and what we call a bond anticipation note, a ban, as well as the whatever other contractor details we've got to put in there. Along with that, we have to do what is called a rural development compliance review, which means we will soon start collecting demographic data on our utility customers. We don't do that right now. We will be collecting ethnicity, gender, and race. So we're required by them to report this. We can ask a customer, they can decline to give us that information. That's fine, but we still have to ask for it going forward, and we will have to report that annually to the USDA. I just wanted to tell you, because it's not something we've done, so if somebody comes to you and says, we asked those questions, you'll know that we did indeed.
We're going to have an outside group doing that, or we're going to be doing it in-house?
No, we will be doing it when people sign up for utilities. The crazy thing, and I know there's a lot of national dialogue around it, our software doesn't currently have a field for your gender. So we've got to come up with a field for that, but we're required to collect it. So we will figure that out. But we will do it, Mayor, when people sign up for utilities. Typically, we have a driver's license whenever someone signs up, so we can collect it off of that. We'll try and make it as non-awkward as possible.
So we're not going to have to go back through all the existing customers, just the new customers?
I'm going to have to give them a projection.
Okay.
And so my projection off of our existing client base is going to mirror the census data.
Gotcha.
So I'm just going to go to the census and see what it says about each of those, and I'm going to report that back and say, this is what I project. And they're fine with that. They know that that's how. Also, a part of that, we have to put a plan in place, and the program is called Limited English Proficiency, so we will have to contract with an outside agency so that if anyone who is not English speaking comes in to sign up for utilities, and we expect most of that is going to be Spanish at this point for where we are. I don't know that we have any other languages that we'll have to account for, but if we do, we have to make provision for. We will contract with the service, so if someone comes in and they do not speak English, we can get this company on the line and they will translate. For your awareness, we have that happen occasionally now, and typically those folks come in with an interpreter on the phone and they speak to our customer service lady that way, but we will have to have a program in place to meet that limited English proficiency component of USDA. Again, it's just something I want to make you aware of. If you hear that these are some things we've got going on, there may be a cost associated with that. I'm not expecting it to be very much. If it is, I'll come back and mention that. I think most of you know that the PNPA general manager, Andy Butcher, submitted his resignation a few weeks back. It is effective June 27th. A little bit of drama on the PNPA board, a little bit back and forth, but last Friday the mayor and I were on a special call meeting with the PNPA board again, and they appointed Joel Ledbetter, who is the Easley Combined Utility Systems Director, as the general manager. Joel was someone, and you feel free to ask the mayor his opinion himself, but someone that the mayor and I had talked about ahead of that meeting, believing he would be a good general manager. He's been a part of PNPA for over 25, 30 years. He's been at Easley for a long time. And while I haven't always personally agreed with everything that Joel has done on the board, he is a professional and he is a gentleman. And so he is somebody that I think will serve that group well. Kevin Harbin mentioned the City Hall campus. You know, we have the old fire bays are gone. We actually have some grass growing. Gets me excited until I remember that we got to put the natural gas lines in. They'll dig it up again. I would like to get your sentiment on having our late Melody Davis help create a mural to go on that back wall. Once we have about $90,000 for that whole project. We've spent a little bit more than two-thirds of it. About $20,000 of that money we're going to have to spend to have City Hall not rewired, but the electric lines coming into City Hall. Right now there are three. We only need one. And to take that down from three to one, we need to hire the electrician to come in. That's going to be expensive in terms of just having that done. And the benefit from it is just, I mean, you won't see a whole lot, but we'll have benefited from it. The other is the landscaping out there. I'd like to talk with some local folks about creating a landscape plan and then take it to some of our Lazy Daisy and other groups that may like to participate in how we would landscape and plan that space. Unless there's any objection from you or any additional direction, I'm going to proceed with contacting Ms. Davis and with that plan for what I'm going to call locals helping come up with a landscape plan. Are you okay with that?
Mm-hmm.
This Saturday from 9 a.m. till noon, and I don't know what we'll do if it rains, but the Foothills Church has a large group of folks that are going to descend on Westminster to paint. They're going to paint fire hydrants from downtown all the way out to Highway 11. They're going to paint the police department training room, which if you don't know what that is, it's the peak building or the mall building or whatever color that is. Matt's attached to it, but we're going to paint it a different color. They're also going to paint the buildings at Hall Road. They're going to paint the buildings at Owens Field and at the pool field. So they've got, and they're going to have a group picking up trash with the Keep America Beautiful that they will take care of all on their own. So very thankful to Foothills Church for coming in and doing that. Expecting 100 plus volunteers that they've already had sign up to come do that. So if you see a lot of people out this Saturday from 9 to noon, that's what we're doing. I also appreciate Chief Smith. He's been very helpful in helping organize this type of event. Start thinking about putting paintbrushes in 100 people's hands. There's a little bit of logistics to go through that. Chief's been real good about that. We already mentioned May 17th. Just as a general placeholder, once we have a time, Rebecca will send you a notice out. That's for the Simpson Street Fields that we christened as Yusuf Mefta Memorial Fields. And then the last thing that I have is we've retained an architect to help create a plan for converting the old magistrate and police department into a council chamber / welcome center. I think I've told most of you or all of you that we've talked with the Visit Oconee and the Chamber of Commerce about partnering on that project. Well, in order to partner on that project, we have to have renderings, we have to have an idea. So just like all of you have been asked time and again, what are your thoughts that went into this downtown master plan? The architect may also contact some of you to see what your ideas are going into that. They will actually be on site next week doing measurements of that building, and they're also going to measure City Hall, because if we were to use that whole building for a council chamber and welcome center, the police department would move into City Hall. So they're going to be giving us some ideas on how all that would work. It's the Boudreaux Group. I've worked with them before. They actually submitted on the downtown master plan, and they had a price that was equal to Bolton & Ames, which is their economic development component wasn't something that you all were interested in. But I've worked with this group before. They do really well with historic renovations, and so that was some of my thoughts in having them come on board, particularly with City Hall being an old building. I don't know, no one's ever validated the historic nature of it, but it being old and renovating it, which is why I thought of bringing them into that. So just want you to know that that's in works. Plus we have all the other wonderful projects that we hit on with Anderson Park, with the water lines going in. We're still waiting word to hear back on our SCIP grant, which is money to improve our sewer system up to $5 million. And of course we have the budget that, and it's my favorite time of year. And I don't say that sarcastically, I really think it's my favorite time of year to do the budget. So a lot of things going on, and occasionally I will forget to put one of these in my administrator report. So if it's something that you're interested in, and I haven't been putting something in there, please let me know so that I can keep pace. Just like with Anderson Park, I tend to rely on the fact that I know what's going on and forget to communicate that to you. So please help me keep up with what you need to know. I told you I'd go quick.
That's quick. Anybody got any questions? The back of the building, are you going to ask for recommendation from the council, or are y'all going to come to us with something later on other than just a mural?
My plan now would be to have Ms. Davis come out and take a look and see what her thoughts are on it, and then if we sketch a plan to bring it back and let you look at it. Is that?
Yeah, that's great. Just curious. Anything else from the council? Move on to new business. Consideration ordinance number 2023-05-9-02. This ordinance amends Title 3, Chapter 30 of the Code of Ordinances for the City of Westminster. This provides for the city council members and mayor's pay.
Okay, so Mayor, we've talked about this at least one other, maybe two other council meetings, whether or not you would give an increase to the council and mayor pay. Andrew has drawn up the ordinance for you. I'll let him explain how the compensation would actually be triggered and when it would be effective.
As we discussed previously, y'all can't give yourselves a pay raise. It has to be effective sometime after the next general election, in which at least two of you are elected. So seeing as four of y'all, I believe, are up for election in November, this pay raise does not take effect till January 2024. And based on the final part, Section 4, says this ordinance shall be effective immediately after the swearing-in ceremony held in January 2024. So this doesn't take effect now, and depending on the election, some of you may not ever even see this money. Who knows? I'm just being honest.
Very true.
This was kind of like a number that I just more or less pulled out of a hat that seemed like an even number. I wasn't given a ton of guidance based on the last meeting. There was discussion, and so struck me as reasonable. It's similar to our current ordinance in that the mayor is compensated more. There are additional duties that he performs and provides for reimbursement as well, which we have a current policy on that, but it basically says that's kosher. So.
And for the benefit of anyone not looking at the ordinance, the ordinance would take the pay for the mayor, which is currently $2,300 a year, to $12,000, and it would take the council member pay, which is currently $2,000, to $7,200.
And I believe the talk in the last meeting was that this hasn't been addressed in over 20 years, so I included that in the initial language here that says City Council finds that its current salary schedule, having not been altered in over two decades, is no longer comparable with similarly situated South Carolina jurisdictions, and therefore desires to amend the salaries of the mayor and council as set forth below. Because I believe that Mr. Blumf had done some research, I had done some research, and it's just not in line with most cities our size, our budget, and it seems like an increase would be warranted.
And these numbers are? In line based on your research?
Yes, they're fairly close.
Okay. Well, while we're discussing, it's just one thing I want to make clear. There's a idea out here that the council has expense accounts. We do not have an expense account. We get reimbursed for expenses, mileage, for travel. So there is no expense account that any council member or the mayor has. So, and just saying this, we've tried to be as transparent with this as we could possibly be. We've talked about it two different meetings. We've been completely open about it. We're not trying to do anything under the table. We want to make sure everybody knows what we're doing up front, and that four of us may not get reelected, and we completely understand that. So, anyone else?
That's part of discussion.
Is this discussion?
We can discuss, or we can get a motion from the floor and then discuss.
Some more.
Go ahead. Yes.
I just want to say I've really thought about it, prayed about it a lot, talked to a lot of folks about it. First, Andrew, I appreciate all that you've done about that, and. It feels so uncomfortable to even talk about it. I don't think I've ever been in this kind of spot that I could even have a say-so in a race of any career I've been in, first, it's an honor to be a part of the City Council of Westminster. It is public service, and so you never know, what is to happen or what not to happen. So I feel a little uncomfortable. That. The other thing is, I think the amount change is a little harder for me to take. And it's not that I don't want a salary raise for everyone and things like that. That's not at all. It's just the amount of change. And so it's just personal opinion. I'm not going to try to stop it. I'm not that at all. I just want you to know my heart about it. I want the people of Westminster to know that we work really hard for you. and but we want to know how you feel and what you think, and so I think it's just such a big jump for me. But again, it's been 20 years. I haven't been a part of this council for 20 years to know where we are with that. So I just wanted to say that I, you know, feel that's a huge jump. But if that's what the council decides to do,
I think it's uncomfortable for all of us. That's why it hadn't been done in 20 years.
Yeah.
So that's it was difficult.
Just to give a little bit of a frame of reference as to where my head's at, before I was in this meeting and before I was in the budget meeting earlier, I was in Greenville at a meeting with leaders in my denomination and my presbytery, and we are having similar conversations about pastors' terms of call. That are not at the minimum, and the minimum is something that is stated by the people that tell our churches what to do. And so I know the discomfort, because I have colleagues and friends that are gonna have to go to their churches and say, hey, you're not paying me enough. And it's an awkward situation, but we're not, I guess I want to say very clearly, as has been said to me multiple times, we're not doing this for ourselves. We are doing this for the future city councils of Westminster. We have so much momentum going, and I think that we have an opportunity to keep that momentum going. That being said, are these numbers sustainable for projected budgets?
Yes. I have actually the budget that we plan to present to you next week already includes at least this amount. Actually, just in case y'all got some wild hairs, I included a little bit more. I shouldn't joke. I know this is a tough joke.
Well, you can't afford me, actually. So. Yes. Sorry. Because it goes back to what your commitment and your dedication
yes.
is what it is.
But this is, I mean, where I express an opinion in favor of you doing this is I think what you currently get paid is very under market.
Yeah.
And I advocate for the city employees every budget year, and I advocate them for them throughout the year. I would advocate for you in this as well, that if nothing other than all the meeting invitations I talked to you about tonight that you're going to get
right.
from me to show up and either perform in an official capacity or a ceremonial capacity, but those ceremonial capacities are meaningful to the people that we're with. The numbers, I think, are about right. Could be more, could be less, and you could still be about right. It is not going to significantly alter your budget, even when you add this in the years going out. This is not a large amount of money, in my opinion, and with my knowledge of your budget.
And I'd be happy to give you some of the data. I know I gave you some of it in a prior meeting, but I just pulled the spreadsheet up in the event you're interested.
Do we have a motion?
I make a motion. Do I need to read it?
You need to read it?
That's fine. You make a motion including the numbers that are in there right now?
Yes.
Second.
Did you second?
Yeah.
Any further discussion? Call for a vote, please.
Who made the second?
Adam.
Ruth?
Yes.
Bron?
Yes, ma'am.
Jimmy?
Yes.
Dale?
Yes.
Adam?
Yes, ma'am.
Audrey?
Yes.
Davey?
Yes.
Next, move on to item 6, consideration ordinance number 2023-05-09-01. This ordinance, Kevin, this is a lot. So, tell me what it authorizes, because it's a lot.
Yeah, so,
explain.
Mayor and Council, this item number 6 item number 7 go together. You may or may not know that we partner with the Municipal Association of South Carolina to collect a number of what are called insurance taxes and broker's taxes. So this is taxes that insurance providers of different ilks, and I don't know what all the ilks are, but different ones that they pay or they are owed to pay municipalities. It's the same way with anyone who brokers on behalf of real estate and insurance providers or insurance providers. Because it's a very complicated formula and a very complicated collection system, most cities in the state of South Carolina partner with the Municipal Association to collect these fees. We do the same. There was some change in state law within the last year. The Municipal Association has updated their agreement with us. And there are, in essence, three things that we're asking you to do today. One is to pass the ordinance that, in essence, authorizes what we call an intergovernmental agreement with the Municipal Association. Item number 7 is to execute what they call the participant program supplement, and in those two things is authorization that you give me to sign the agreement with the Municipal Association for them to be able to collect these taxes for us. Annually, I think this accounts for about $260,000 in our revenue stream. And again, this is all of this stuff is regulated, mandated by the state. It's not anything that you actively impose on them. It's stuff that the state mandates that the Municipal Association will collect on our behalf, and they do get a fee off of that. But we benefit greatly, one, by not having to understand all of it. So my recommendation would be that approve Ordinance 2003-05-0901 along with Participant Program Supplement, which is number 7.
Can you do that in one vote?
If you don't mind, Mayor, would you do it in two?
So
the minutes will be reflected.
So we need a motion for the first ordinance? No, number 6. Number 6 is the ordinance. Number 7 is the supplement.
All right, well, I'll make a motion then to approve ordinance number 2023-05-09-01.
Second.
Motion and second. Any further discussion? Call for a vote, please.
Brian?
Yes, ma'am.
Jimmy?
Yes.
Dale?
Yes.
Adam?
Yes.
Aldrin?
Yes.
Davey?
Yes.
Ruth?
Yes.
And now we need a motion to consideration of the participant program supplement.
Motion to consider participant program supplement. Is that how you want to read it?
You can say a motion to approve.
Motion to approve.
Second.
Participant program supplement.
Do we have a second?
Mm-hmm.
We do. Any further discussion? Call for a vote, please.
Jimmy?
Yes.
Dale?
Yes.
Adam?
Yes.
Aldrin?
Yes.
Davey?
Yes.
Ruth?
Yes.
Brian?
Yes, ma'am. All right, item number 8, consideration resolution number 04-18-2023-01. This resolution adopts April as Fair Housing Month.
Yes, sir, Mayor, I mentioned to you a few minutes ago that we'll have items on our agenda from time to time that the USDA Rural Development Office would like to see that we are contemplating as terms of getting that loan to them for our water system improvements, and Fair Housing Month is one of those. It's a pretty standard issue resolution, and it's very easy, in my opinion, to be for it, because we want everybody to have equal access to fair housing and that meets the state law requirements anyway. So staff recommendation would be for council.
Motion?
Make a motion to approve resolution number 418-2301.
Second.
Motion is second. Any further discussion? Call for a vote.
Dale?
Yes.
Adam?
Yes, ma'am.
Aldrin?
Yes.
Davey?
Yes.
Ruth?
Yes.
Brian?
Yes, ma'am.
Jimmy?
Yes.
Item number 9, consideration acceptance of the City of Westminster Downtown Master Plan 2023.
Yes, sir, Mayor. Bolton and Meek presented you with the master plan. You all have some pretty honking copies there. I apologize if they only stay together better than they will those clips. In order for me to take this master plan out and do what I call shop it around, with state and federal agencies for funding and to be able to implement it, it is important that council consider approval.
The plan does not have to be exactly as it is. The council can make modifications and changes as we go, even though we adopt it as is.
Yeah, you're right. Adopting that this plan reflects the input of your community. And from there, how we implement the particulars of it is up to us and the time.
Do we have a motion?
Second.
Motion is second. Any more discussion? Call for a vote.
Adam?
Yes, ma'am.
Aldrin?
Yes.
Davey?
Yes.
Ruth?
Yes.
Brian?
Yes, ma'am.
Jimmy?
Yes.
Dale?
Yes.
Next, item number 10. We have gone through that earlier. At this time, I make a motion to go into executive session.
Recommend a 5-minute recess?
Absolutely not. Motion is second.
We have to give a reason for going to executive session.
Oh, yeah.
The reason for executive session is so we can talk under the table about things that Norm don't need to hear. You're gonna hold me to it, I know. Contractual agreement between the City of Westminster and Oconee County regarding fire service, and item 2, possible contractual agreement with Blue Ridge Electric Co-op.
Andrea doesn't make us do that, just like, why?
Council's not going to be asked to make any decisions when they come back.
No, absolutely.
No.